from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Dan Burke came to the National Catholic Register in 2008. He's seen the paper through hills and valleys. Now he's heading to another pasture. This is his last week as head of EWTN News, and here on Register Radio, a show he started 9 years ago, we are saying goodbye for now. I'm Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register. My co-host Matthew Bunsen couldn't be with us this week, but I'm joined by my original co-host, Dan Burke, in his home studio. So Dan, thanks for having me here today. You've been my boss for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a mentor and a friend. And so while I will miss you, I am not sorry to see you go. I'm happy. I'm happy that you're going. And why? Because you're going to do something that you are so passionate about.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy to see that. So while we're remembering here on this show, we're remembering your time at the Register and at EWTN. We're giving thanks for these years. We're also looking ahead. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the looking ahead. Where
sure.
are you going?
Well, I founded the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation in 2013, and it's really just grown like crazy.
Right.
We're serving priests, religious, laity in over 70 countries now. We're doing formation for men in 14 dioceses, heading into seminaries. So spiritualdirection.com was the start of that, 2009. But all of that has just grown, and it's really because of a deep hunger in the church with all of the mess that the church is wrestling through,
right.
The post-Second Vatican Council issues. Mystical tradition was really put on a back burner, but it's really the place where we find the most powerful kind of authentic encounter with Christ, where we really come to understand the Eucharist. I mean, last time I was in Rome, at our office in Rome, I wandered into the Vatican into St. Peter's. I'm struck every time since I realized that St. Teresa of Avila and St. Peter of Alcantara, her spiritual director, are the two first statues you see as mm-hmm. you enter. She's on the right and he's on the left.
Actually, in the Basilica?
Right.
Okay.
And it really speaks to this idea that the mystical tradition is the entryway into the heart of God and right. into this amazing reality of the Catholic Church, and it's what brought me in to the Catholic Church in many ways.
So. Right, and that's what's so interesting about that, and I was thinking about you, and I know your love for, I think, keeping up with current affairs. I mean, mm-hmm. you always do, and very quick at seeing the news, and mm-hmm. I mean, you were often telling me, Jeanette, get on this, get on this, you know, and you've got your hands in so many things. But at the same time, you also have this incredible depth, you know, and the spiritual life that you keep feeding, nurturing in yourself and in others. How do these two things, how have they existed side by side, and how did you get into the news? Because spiritual direction, it's really easy to see that that's a part of you,
yeah.
but what about the news?
Well, I was just, you know, I was head of strategy development at Focus on the Family, which was one of the most influential media organizations of its time. Protestant organization when I converted to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I became Catholic, I really wanted to serve the church in some way related to my skills. And so I volunteered for an executive effort at Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and then also for the board of Circle Media. The way I became connected with them was that Mel Gibson came through Focus on the Family because we were one of the most influential evangelical organizations on the planet, and said, I can't get this film distributed, The Passion of the Christ. Well, in tow were the Legionaries of Christ. Sorry, in tow were the Legionaries of Christ, particularly Father John Bartunek, who was allowed to write the only insider's book on the movie. So they were the owners of Circle Media. So I got in connection with them. You know, the founder was discovered to have had living a double life. So everything was going down yeah. the tubes, and they said, hey, can you come help us? And I said, sure. I never didn't know what I was in for, I'll tell you that. But that's how I got in the news.
Dan,
I stumbled into it.
Mel Gibson didn't put you in it. The Passion of Christ put you here.
Right. That's true. That's, that's a good point.
That's really, really awesome. I
well,
mean,
there's a lot of double meaning there. Because
absolutely.
It was one of the hardest periods of my life was of my Catholic life was that 2008, 9, and 10 period where we're trying to rescue the Register in a really difficult climate. And by God's grace, we did, just through a sequence of miracles.
Right, right. So I mentioned in the introduction that the Register has been through valleys and hills. I think that the Register itself has been in a hill. We've been doing really well as a newspaper these last several years. It had some real valleys in there, and you weathered all of that.
Yeah.
You know. I think a question that we get often is about the papers, you know, what is the paper really doing? Are we doing journalism? Are we doing some hybrid? Mm-hmm. Are we, you know, featurey? What is this paper, and how much independence do you actually have?
Right.
you worked for under the Legion years, and you've worked under EWTN years. Those are different mm-hmm. structures. They're different types of decisions on news. But still, has the Register ever had independence?
Well, I don't, you know, any Catholic institution, a journalistic institution that is committed to the magisterium, by definition, doesn't have total independence. And let's just say, let me set that up a little better. If your priority is your Catholicism,
right.
primary, journalism is secondary, it's a service to the primary, then independence is never perfect in that sense. Why? Because you're not ever going to do something that hurts the church in fundamentally, essentially, in what you do. That doesn't mean you don't report difficult things.
Right.
But we see ourselves mostly as Catholics in service to the church. And then the journalistic method, if you will, or ethic, guides what we hope to be fair and honest coverage, even about our own failings. But we're always concerned to advance the mission of the church at the same
right.
time.
Right. You have coined the term, I think you did anyway, I've always taken it as yours, of redemptive journalism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us what that is in your own words.
Yeah, redemptive journalism is an approach to telling the truth that always leads the people of God into a deeper relationship with God. And I've always been concerned that even when we address the hardest issues, that we don't just, you know, report as if we have no responsibility with respect to how that reporting affects people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Edward Penton, people know by now, is one of my favorite guys with the Register, always had tough stuff to report. And I've always pressed on Edward to be sure that he has in mind the effect on the reader
right.
in a pastoral sense, because we will be responsible before God as to whether or not we have increased the faith, hope, and love, the theological virtues of our readers, or we have damaged them. And so redemptive journalism has always in its in its vision, this idea that the goal is to redeem all of creation for God. And if we just shout and yell and say, and talk about negative things, but we don't talk about, you know, how do we solve this? I mean, where do we go with this? Or what do we do? Or try to help. You know, a recent good example is the unbelief in the Eucharist
right.
as the body. And so what did we do in that? We just didn't say, oh, well, nobody believes. We did this wonderful spread. You guys did a great job. You guys did a great job of bringing in a bunch of beautiful voices of saying, here's the truth that the church teaches.
Right.
So that's a great example of redemptive
And we're planning
journalism.
Another one on confession because
awesome.
Of, for the same reason, because mm-hmm. Confession, the practice of confession is so low among even practicing Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it needs to be increased. So we're going to do the same thing. I think we're at a moment in time where it's very difficult with Pope Francis, with Pope Emeritus Benedict, with our bishops right now, and a lack of credibility because of the sex abuse scandals, where it almost seems okay to speak out and really to be investigating the leadership.
Right.
It wasn't always the case.
No.
And you've been with the Register when it really was not an easy thing to do. How did you handle over these years in investigation or question of authority in the church, particularly the people, the leaders.
That's been one of the most gut-wrenching aspects of what we do. For me, you know, when Pope Francis first became our pope, the Register did a lot of explaining, you know, and interpreting what he said and did in the best possible light. And I think that's what we should have done, and I believe that was the right thing to do. But over the years, I've come to recognize in this situation with the Pope and the lack of clarity and some confusing issues that, you know, the pattern is that that he struggles with bringing clarity to some of the things that he said. And for whatever reason, whether it's people around him or it's his temperament or whatever. And so I felt more and more comfortable and more of a need to bring to question and say, hey, this is destructive. You know, why is this back door in Amoris to allowing divorced and remarried to take communion when the historic teaching of the church is contrary to what this seems to allow? And right. Then you've encouraged bishops in other countries like Malta to do it in a way that's destructive to souls. Really difficult stuff.
Right.
And so, but yet he's our Holy Father, and I still feel like we should have a filial affection to him, that we should not see him as our enemy, that we should support him, that we should proclaim everything good that he does.
Right.
And what a dilemma. I mean, right. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it's been one of the hardest
things. It is a dilemma.
Things.
I mean, the Register starts every meeting with a prayer of protection for our Pope, you know, physical, of course, but also for his spiritual and mental and, you know, everything. So we pray constantly for protection of our Pope. And really, we do the same for our bishops. There is a filial relationship there, and it is heart-wrenching when you question. And I think one of the things, Dan, that you have done for me and for my team is always encourage our own spiritual life, that to make sure that we are Catholic first, and then also sharpen our journalism, because that's how there's a certain level of respect that comes from doing good journalism, good
yeah.
investigative work, and we need to keep that up. But you've really emphasized to all of us that spiritual life. I think it has been very hard, and it's increasingly hard. I want to get into another aspect of, for our listeners about news and how to balance the bad news. But first, let's reset for a minute. And we're talking on Register Radio. We're in Dan Burke's home studio, and this is airing on EWTN. And we are talking about Dan leaving the Register and going on to another green pasture. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. So, Dan, we have been talking about how difficult it is for the Register to cover bad news or hard news, difficult news, to challenge what has been said by a bishop or even sometimes by the Pope. It's sometimes hard for our listeners to read all of that kind of stuff. And we've gotten complaints on one hand saying you're covering too much of this, you know, please cover all the good things that are happening. And then we've had sometimes complaints, you haven't covered this enough, you haven't drilled deeper. What is your advice for listeners about the balance?
You know, that's a good question. I think you've got to ask what it is you expect of the Register. You know, we've tried to maintain solid journalistic standards, but what's happened around us is that most of the other outlets that are, let's say, more on the independent side have become purely advocacy journalism, meaning that there's a narrative or a line that they how they see the church in the world. I'm not even saying it's wrong,
yeah.
But then they work at the news through that narrative, and what reinforces the narrative they report as true, and it's not always wrong, and it's often, you know, good and important. But if it doesn't reinforce the narrative, you know, it starts to become problematic. Whereas I've wanted the Register to not give itself totally into advocacy journalism, because we're advocates of the church, but to try to maintain those journalistic standards. So when you look at us and you compare us to those other outlets, let's say the independents, you need to be careful to understand that what we're trying to do is be fair. Mm-hmm. We're not going to report things that we can't verify by multiple sources. So our standards are very high. So you don't find us retracting a lot of stories. You don't find us correcting a lot. But you also, you're not going to find us leading people down paths that are not true. We have to stand before God with everything we say, and we're going to be judged on that. And I really feel in all of our time, and you've done an amazing job at the Register. You really have done an exemplary work of holding to that integrity and really to where I feel like you're going to be just fine in that judgment seat. But I think I fear a lot of our friends on the advocacy side, the way they've reported stories, I worry about them a bit, even though they've done a lot of good that we can't do because of just some of our standards and constraints. I'm not saying they're lower than we are. I'm just saying we approach the news differently. And it's constraining to us. It has been constraining to us.
Yeah. You know, Dan, I was thinking about that, and I think about that advocacy journalism. And, you know, if you're uncovering a story of somebody who has done something wrong, and that story needs to be uncovered, I think that we always have to remember that that person, even though they may have done something wrong, deserves the right to have their say.
Right.
And sometimes that's what is missing, is just that right to have their say and to present their side, because it may not always be exactly as it seems from the outside. And that's where, when you're trying to live by some journalistic standard outside of yourself and how you choose to do it, when you do that, you really want to allow the chance for somebody to respond. And that's something we really try to hold to. We don't want to just nail someone. We want to give them a chance.
Well, and Catholic News Agency has recently been criticized for, you know, there's a situation with McCarrick and, you know, they report, well, here's what the diocese said. Well, that isn't being a patsy for the diocese. I get the criticism, and there are some issues there. Don't get me wrong. They're not being a patsy for the diocese by saying this is what the diocese said. They're doing journalism and saying this is what the diocese said.
Exactly.
And we're not going to lock it all up and say, but aren't they a bunch of bad, evil people? I mean, that's just not how you do journalism, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a tough game. And, I have to say, I don't agree with what Weigel said in one of a column that he wrote for us when he said, hey, don't listen to these independent groups, because frankly, they're breaking a ton of news that's really important to the church, and they're doing good work. It's just I'm uncomfortable often with the standard of sources, right? And because I worry, is that exactly right? Are we condemning someone who may be innocent? Are we defending someone? This is another thing that happens, and this has also happened in our crew, not at the Register, but in another outlet at EWTN, defending a priest who I knew the background because of who I have connections with in one case, that were bad guys, that were doing bad things, but they were Orthodox in terms of theology and liturgy. And one of our team assumed, well, then they're victims.
Fine. Yeah.
Well, that's not the world we live in, folks. They're bad guys who hide behind Orthodoxy too. Sure. Now, I think there's more bad guys who hide behind in realms where they're not magisterium faithful, because they don't have the ethical constraints that we have. They just have a different set of rules, and their rules are, let's change the church and do whatever we want or think best with it. So I think there's more problems there, but unless you're careful in your journalism, man, you can fall into those traps.
Almost anyone can be suspect. You know? But I don't want to spend the entire show talking about that negative stuff. That's the stuff that we have had to deal with. That's the stuff that I'm still, you know, going to be doing, but that you don't have to do as your job.
Thank God. I'm very happy about that.
Yes, I can see the levity in your face.
Oh, man. Yeah.
and I think that that's beautiful. And that's why I could say I'm not sorry to see you go. I'm happy to see you moving on to doing something that you love. And I have seen, I can't believe that you've been able to start that while you were still leading the Register. But let's talk about where you're going and what that work consists of on a day-to-day basis, really.
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Avila Foundation. And what I'm doing day-to-day, I mean, I just finished a book called Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits, which has been in the top 4 or 5 categories in Catholicism and Amazon since the week it was released. So it's hit a nerve. I'm speaking every month around the country and in Canada. I'm doing formation for priests, religious, laity. We're doing Divine Intimacy Radio. That's the studio we're sitting in now. We just started Saints and Sages podcast with my oldest son, Jordan, and one of our other employees, Kristen Priola, and they're doing a great job reaching young adults. So that's what I'm doing now. It's really trying to repropose the mystical tradition of the church back to the church. I really think if we can better understand and live out the liturgy, if we can draw more deeply to a relationship with Jesus, if we can teach priests to do that, encourage good priests who are already doing it and good bishops who are already doing it, support their really important work, that's really what's going to heal the church. So I see EWTN, I see what you're doing as essential air power in the war, if you will. And EWTN and the EWTN news team is really the biggest and the most widespread in supporting that air force, if you will. And then what I'm switching to is what I would just call ground troops. It's not. I don't know. It doesn't feel quite as. I want to use the word glamorous, but that's not right. The right word.
Maybe.
Not grand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very powerful to work with individual students and watch them. I was just grading journals today. Of students who are having major breakthroughs in their interior life and becoming free and experiencing the freedom that Christ died for that they never had experienced before. I had a 60-something-year-old woman approach me after an event last week in Virginia, and she said, she had this big grin on her face, and she said, "I want you to know I just figured out what it means to know Jesus last year." She's been a Catholic all of her life,
Wow. Never
left the church, but she had gone to confession for the first time since confirmation.
Wow.
And she told me how she hid out in the church all those years to self-justify. She was an extraordinary minister, and then finally the Lord broke through, and she came to know what it really means to be in relationship with the King of Kings in the greatest place to have it, which is in the Catholic Church. And so that's really what we're doing, and that's, I'm extremely excited about it.
I'm so glad you told that little story, because I said before that we're going to be doing a special section on confession.
Yeah.
And we're actually looking for stories like that. So mm-hmm. We are looking for stories of people who return to confession and experience the power of confession after returning from a long, long time. So I can invite our listeners to email at editor@ewtn.com and tell me your story of returning to confession, especially if you'd like to in some way be a part of this special section. But you also made me think, Dan, we don't often hear from our readers. Sometimes we hear the most negative things from our readers and not always the positive. And that's the beautiful thing about this kind of work that you will be doing, is you have a lot more face-to-face time with people. You have a lot more time to just hear what's on their hearts and help them in the spiritual life. I'm not worried that I don't always hear the positive stuff. That's really okay. But I can understand how you just get worn down when you're dealing with junk of news sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't always do it well or to what people are thinking. So I see that part of, the light in where you are going.
Yeah. And so much in the news, I really wanted us to dig in and resolve and expose things that we just didn't have enough direct information about, but that we had good information about. Always, and the news is tough, Jeanette. I mean, I'm leaving behind a harder job. I have to be mm-hmm. honest. It's a bit, and the news since the McCarrick scandal broke and, the Vigano situation is really, it's been like being in an outhouse every day, and it wears on you after a while. Certainly, it's true that God gives us a grace. I really didn't really feel the burden of it so much until my health began to really decline recently. And then, that reduces your resilience and that sort of thing. But I always felt protected. And I think that's the case with you and our great team at the Register and EWTN News as a whole. But you have to have that special grace and protection, which is why I always emphasize the spiritual life. But yeah, I've always felt a call to work more closely with people. And this is, I guess it's Jesus had to wait 33 years or 30 years or whatever. And so I've waited, 50 or whatever the number is. And God's finally releasing me to do what I've wanted to do for a long time.
Absolutely. It's a beauty to see that. Where can people follow you?
SpiritualDirection.com is kind of the doorway to everything we do. We have readers in 190 countries. And then, of course, the Avila-Institute.org or .com is where folks can find all of our courses and Spiritual Direction School and all of that. But SpiritualDirection.com is the front end. And then you can also explore. We have a Catholic community that's in 47 countries.
Oh, wow.
ApostoleVA.org, which I also founded a few years ago, that's really grown exponentially. And it just all speaks to this hunger in the church to really know and love our Lord and Savior that's given himself for the church, and to grow and to nurture the hearts and minds of people around the world is just such a gift. And, you know, you guys are going to keep doing it through the air power, and I'll be working on the ground, and I'm sure we'll see each other often regardless.
Absolutely. And I know you. I know your discernment. I know that whoever my next boss is, we don't know who that is yet, but I know that I'm going to be in good hands because you've set it up well, and you wouldn't leave if you didn't know that it was going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate that. We've covered this departure at the Register, so I invite everyone to go to ncregister.com for an interview as well as a story about Dan's future work. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. For our producer, Jeff Burson, and my co-host, Matthew Bunsen, thanks for listening. I'm Jeanette DiMello. Until next week, God bless you.
Don't miss a moment of 2020. Try 6 issues of EWTN's National Catholic Register today for free. Stay connected and follow the latest from Washington, D.C., the 2020 elections, along with events from the Vatican and the world. Only the National Catholic Register brings you in-depth news and analysis from a Catholic perspective. Award-winning journalism that goes beyond what you'll find from any secular news service. Try the Register for free today and get it delivered to your home, office, or parish. To get 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. That's ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. Don't miss a minute of 2020. Call or click today. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.